I'm going to stay in the series that I started, Helps for the Home, and take a direction here that I believe it's a natural direction from where we were, but also with the way God has been stirring my heart about some things, I hope will be a help to us. I really do. This is not a politically correct message, okay? I'm not trying to, you know, stir things up on purpose, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now notice verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. I'll connect these in a little bit. You might wonder why I'm reading these. Hopefully you'll know by the end. That's my goal anyway. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now look over at verse 15 of chapter 2. "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." All of this before sin entered into the world. In Genesis chapter 3. All right, let's pray and we'll begin. Lord, I ask your blessing this evening upon the message. I know, Lord, no doubt in my mind that you have stirred my heart in this area of the home. And so, Lord, as I deliver what I believe you've led me to deliver tonight, I need your help. I need your enablement. I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit. But Lord, more than anything, I ask that your spirit would take your word and pierce the hearts of every person that hears it. Lord, not because of me, but because it's your word. And Lord, fix our thinking in this particular area of life this evening. And help us all to have a desire to be biblical. Not like the world, not to fit into the world, not even to just fit into nominal Christianity, but truly have a biblical standard. And so I pray, Lord, you remove any distractions from this room this evening. And from our minds, I ask you, please, for a fresh filling of thy spirit, which in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for several Wednesday evenings, we have been dealing with the subject help or helps for the home. And could we all agree tonight that the condition of the family unit in America is in great trouble? And I'm not just talking about the families in the world. I'm talking about the families that sit in our churches. They're in great trouble. I was recently reading an article entitled "Danger Signs: Families Headed for Trouble," written by a man named James B. Stenson, an educational consultant. He wrote the following. It's a little wordy, but listen to it if you would, please. Clearly, something is seriously wrong in today's society. For some reason, large numbers of parents around us are failing to form character in their children. We look around in our workplace and neighborhoods and see young people in their 20s who are immature and irresolute, soft and irresponsible, uneasy about themselves and their futures. They may be technically skilled in some field and hold down decent paying jobs, but their personal lives and marriages are a wreck. In their conduct and attitudes, these young people seem permanently stuck in adolescence. That dangerous mixture of adult powers and childlike irresponsibility. Some are crippled or destroyed by substance abuse. Many see their professional work as mere ego gratification or just drudgery endured for the sake of spending money. Great numbers of them live as heartless narcissists, caring little or nothing about their parents or their children if they choose to have any. They retain within themselves, sometimes tragically, the flawed attitudes and habits of childhood, For some reason, they never quite grew up. I'm glad he said that, not me. So you get mad at him and not me. But may I say, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, perhaps we could trace this problem, at least in part, back to a lack of understanding in the area of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Do we even know that today? Do we even understand that today? Now notice in our text, going back to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 27, we read something that's very important. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created male and female. And He did not create them to be the same. They're different. Now, while there are some ways that we are the same, men and women, we understand that we're all created in the image of God. We are both created by the Creator who loves us. We have the same worth to God. But then there are many ways that we are different. And by the way, that's by design. God designed us to be different. And Christians today need a clear understanding of what the things are that distinguish a man from a woman according to our Creator. What are they? How should a man act? How should a woman act? How do we know? Well, we have a Bible. And that's so very important. Because you cannot be the husband or the father God wants us to be without knowing what it means to be a man. You can't be the mother or the wife that God wants you to be if you do not understand what it means to be a woman. You cannot raise the children without knowing what you are raising them to be. You need to know the target, amen? We cannot train young people, whether it be in our homes or in Sunday school, without knowing what are we training them to become. What's the goal? No one can grow up to be a man or a woman without knowing what a man or a woman is. So for a little while, what I'd like to do on Wednesday nights, and I think this is cohesive with the Helps for the Home, I'd like to take a look at what is true masculinity from the Bible, and then what is true femininity from the Bible. What does it mean to be a man, and what does it mean to be a woman? Tonight, I'd like to begin with the men. And all the ladies said, amen to that. I'll tell you why, because I have a burden for our men. By the way, it includes me. And particularly our young men and the boys that are in this very church, all of us. I have a burden because our understanding of biblical masculinity has been corrupted. When I was down at the conference, one of the things one of the preachers said, and I noticed this myself, and I mentioned it, I believe, in staff devotions or somewhere along the line, since we've been back. Our Bible colleges are 2/3 young ladies, and only 1/3 young men. I'm talking about the colleges that train people for the ministry, that are training our future pastors and assistant pastors, our youth directors, and so forth. Most of the colleges have girls, young ladies in them, more than men. Does that bother you? Does that burden you? Does it bother you today when we look at the boys and the young men of today that have no problem sporting girly haircuts, wearing girly clothes, skinny jeans? Feminine colors, feminine styles. Can we say something's wrong? I got one little amen there. I'll take it though. So tonight I'd like to preach on this subject. Becoming a man. And I want us to look at what are some Bible traits for the next few weeks, hopefully, Lord willing. Unless the rapture happens. Which some of you men may pray for after tonight's message. Amen. What are some biblical traits of masculinity? And we're going to deal with trait number 1 tonight. And that is this, notice, Man was made to work. To work. Now stay with me here, because there's two ends of the spectrum that are wrong in this subject. You know, throughout history, depraved ideas about what is manly has affected men and women negatively throughout the ages. Here's what I mean by that. For example, Roman culture, where women were no more than a means to legally bear children and could be discarded on a whim. Islam teaches that even today that men are better than women. The Quran, Surah 2:228 says this, and the men are a degree above them, speaking of the women. In contrast, matriarchal societies that still exist in parts of Costa Rica and Kenya and Indonesia, in those matriarchal societies, men have faded into the background while women lead the family. Do you remember, maybe you remember those that were down in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if you were in this conversation, but I was talking to Brother Ron Autry, and he was telling me that's the culture in the DR today. He was telling me that women dominate the home. They dominate the culture. They rule the roost. That's what he was saying. You know, in America, the feminist movement came on the scene in part as a reaction to some of the real injustices by men against women. And they were there. Some were giving the impression that manhood meant being demanding. That manhood means being insensitive. That it means being an authoritarian, ruling with an iron fist. That it meant being uninvolved with your children or the household. That it meant viewing women as lesser people or unintelligent or incapable. They were bigots and chauvinists, if you will. Hence, the reaction to these wrong ideas came forth from that, the feminist movement. But we know what's happened over time. The feminist movement has grown into what one author has called, quote, a far-reaching immoral catalyst that has further confused and even redefined the lines of gender. What I'm trying to say is here, in other words, the feminist movement, in a reaction to some of the wrong ideas about manhood, has swung the pendulum all the way to the other end of the spectrum. And so you had these two views of manhood. One says demanding, authoritarian, insensitive, looking down upon women. That's wrong. But then the other side, it makes a man look like a woman. That's wrong too. So what's the biblical position? Well, we're going to find out. You know, I think so much today, I really believe that our young people are growing up today confused. I really do. They don't know what a man is. They don't know what it's supposed to be. They don't know what a woman is and so forth. Pastor Jerry Ross, in his book, 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity, he wrote this, "Biblical masculinity has all but disappeared in the modern day culture. Satan has systematically targeted the tenets of biblical manhood, eliminating them one by one from our society. As a whole, we no longer are rearing young men." Thank God there are exceptions. But they are simply that, exceptions. The Church of Jesus Christ must scripturally define and purposefully reinstill the character qualities of biblical masculinity back into our boys and young men. Let me say that. What are we talking about when we're talking about a young man? When we're talking about a young man today, we're talking about someone, a male, between the ages of 12 and 30. That's what we would consider, basically, a young man. So we have boys that should become young men that are then, of course, the elder men as well. Now, let me see. How many 12 to 30-year-olds do we have here tonight? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up nice. Why don't you go ahead and stand for a second? I want to look at you. Brother Strong looked like you were going to stand up for a second there. All right, we got the guy. I want you to look at it. Let me just say this. God does not desire for you to remain a boy. Amen. Amen. He wants you to become a man. Now, what does that mean? Well, go ahead and sit down. That's all. I won't pick on you anymore. I'm not going to make you sing a special or anything like that. But let me read a few verses to those who just stood up in particular, but also all of us to hear today. Let's hold your hand here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's start with that one. You see, there's not many blanks because there's a lot of talking in between. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:11. All you guys that just stood up, take note of this verse. Notice the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's what it means. We're going to talk about that in a moment. 1 Corinthians 16:13, listen to this verse. Excuse me. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Watch this. This is for all of us, by the way. Every male in this auditorium. And by the way, ladies, I want you to listen to this. Because this is very important. So you know what a man is and what a man isn't. Amen? And moms, you know what you're aiming for as you're training your boys to become young men. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Did I read that? I'll read it again anyway. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Notice, quit you like men, be strong. What he's saying here is this. Be a man. Put away childish things and become a man. God has not designed you to remain a boy all of your life. Boy, I'd like to say some things now, but I want to get ahead of myself. Maybe I'll just go ahead and say it. I know some guys that are 40, 50 years old. They're still boys. They're still boys. And you'll see why tonight. 1 Samuel 4:9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. Psalm chapter 82 and verse 7. But ye shall die like men. Notice there's characteristics there that make somebody a man. And fall like one of the princes. Evidently, there are some traits that characterize someone to be a man. So what does it mean to biblically to be a man? What is biblical masculinity? Well, tonight I'm going to deal with one trait of it, just one. Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. And we're going to hit femininity, Lord willing, as well. But we're trying to help the home tonight. What are we trying to aim at with our boys and our children as they grow up? And I want to deal with the characteristic of work. Notice number one. Yeah, we got to number one. Look at that. Write this down if you would. God's makeup of men. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Job, Psalms, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this, especially those ones that just stood up. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Notice we read, the glory of young men is their what? Strength. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. Or no hair. Oh, I added that. Notice the glory of young men is their strength. Watch this. God created men and women physically different. Amen. We are physically different. He designed us differently because we have been given by God different roles and different responsibilities. Men and women are different. Now, I want to show you something. What's this? A fork. What's this? My wife said, that's my fork. I said, you're right. I sneaked it out without her seeing it. I got the cheap ones, though. See, not the rooster ones. I had to sift through it to get that. I knew you'd say something if I had a rooster one up here. That's my rooster one. Don't forget to bring that back. Now watch this. Can I say, duh? They're different. Fork. Spoon, they're different. Now, I like both of them. They both mean a lot to me, particularly when I'm eating. This one especially when I'm having soup. Because if I'm having soup, I don't want this one. I want this one. When I'm having steak, I want this one. I don't want this one. And I want their sister, the knife, too, when I have steak. But I didn't make that a part of this sermon. My point is this. There are two different things, and they have two different functions. This isn't better than this one. This one is... I like them both. And it's the same with men. If you try to eat soup with this, you're going to get frustrated. And if the fork could talk, it'd tell you, I'm frustrated. If it tried to eat a steak with this and cut it up, it would say, I'm frustrated. It wasn't designed for that. But isn't that what our society is doing to men and women? They're trying to force them in a role that God didn't design them for. Oh, you just think that one's less. No! Well, you just think this one's better. No! They're different. Designed different. Man, woman. Two different things. I'm gonna remember these. Amen. When we go home. Now watch this. How are they different? Here's a way. From our verse, right? What did it say? The glory of young men is their what? Strength. Men were made physically stronger than women. It's a fact. Now, I'm not saying that there's not wimpy men. There are. And I'm not saying there's not some pretty physically strong women. There are. But physical makeup, the truth of the matter is, scientifically, men are made stronger than women. Amen?
Right.
I hope women don't get offended at that. Doesn't mean it's just fork, spoon. Difference, okay? 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know, even the world understands this. Listen to this. In a 2012 article I came across in Psychology Today. You say, you're quoting Psychology Today? Yes, it's the world. I know, that's not an independent Baptist think tank. They wrote of the physical differences between men and women. Here's four of them. Here's what they said. Number one, men are physically stronger than women. They said it's a fact. They said this, under number one, they have more total muscle mass. They have denser, stronger bones. They have denser, stronger tendons and ligaments. They are physically stronger. Number two, they said this, men have greater cardiovascular reserve. By that, they went on to say, men have larger hearts. They have greater lung capacity per body mass. They have a higher red blood cell count. They have higher hemoglobin. They have a higher clotting factor leading to faster healing of wounds. There's a reason for that. Because they have greater cardiovascular reserve. Number three, they said, on average, men are taller than women. On average, men are 6 inches taller, average-wise. And then number four, they said, men are less emotional. They said they suffer less depression, less eating disorders, less stress disorders. Now, we understand all that. Consider this. The world's fastest mile run, all right, for the men, 3 minutes 43 seconds. For women, 4 minutes and 12 seconds. Why? Men are stronger. Women's record for bench press. Why are they doing it? But anyway, I'm just saying, 600 pounds. Men's record, 1,075 pounds. Why in the world do we have a world that, well, men and women should be competing against each other? That's ridiculous. They're physically different. Different. Listen to this. The deadlift record, world record for women, 600 pounds. World record for men, 1,102 pounds. My point is this. When God formed man's body, He wired within us the DNA to provide for every generation a crop of strong young men. Like I just said a moment ago, You know, when I wrestled for many years, from third grade all the way up to my senior year in high school, I was a wrestler. And at that time, they didn't have girls in wrestling. They didn't. But after that, they got girls wrestling. That's weird. That is. I know Fairhaven, they have a wrestling team. And if they send out a girl, they don't wrestle them. They don't do that. Why would you do that anyway? It's unfair. There's a difference here. And so, you see, this is one of the primary traits that distinguishes men from the fairer, yet weaker, female gender. Men have been created physically stronger. That's important. And you're going to see why in a moment. So we see, number one, God's makeup of men. Number two, we're going to see God's mandate for men. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. So I think I beat that drum enough, at least for now, that men are physically stronger. Is that the reason that God has given to men strength is not so you can stand in front of the mirror and flex your muscles. Please. I stopped doing that years ago. After I got saved. He didn't make us strong to gaze at ourselves. Take a selfie. No. Young man, listen to me tonight. God gave you strength so that you can use that strength for the joy, yes, the joy of performing physical labor. Joy? Yeah. If you didn't like that word, you just proved you're a boy. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 6. Notice we read in verse 4 of chapter 6, but let every man prove his own what? Work. And then shall he have what? Rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I say it again. Man, young man, the reason that God has given you and me physical strength above the woman is so that we use that strength for performing physical labor. Now, I know what you're thinking. This does not mean that women are not to do any physical work. But it does mean that any work that involves strength, that involves hard physical labor, I'll call it dirty work, is the work that God has designed for men. Man, I just don't like to get my hands dirty. Oh, this is so hard. I get oil under my fingers. You're a boy. You're a boy. You know, throughout the Bible, we find that it was the men, and young men in particular, that were used to perform the physically taxing jobs that involved hard labor. Let me show you. Go over, if you would, to Exodus 24. Let's just look at a couple of them. Exodus 24. I'm about to get myself in a little trouble. I know I am. I'm going to go out this way tonight. Can we at least admit we've been a little brainwashed in this area? Okay. Exodus 24, look at verse 4 and 5. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Notice it was the young men that were sent to perform the physically taxing job of slaughtering and offering oxen to the Lord. By the way, the oxen mentioned in this story weighed over a ton. It's heavy. It's hard work. Who did it? The young men. It's a strength. That's why God put you here. That's why God put men here. To work. Go over to Acts chapter 5. I'll give you a New Testament example. Acts chapter 5. You know, the sad thing is what I'm going to say in a few moments is going to, can possibly, at least in the world, be as upsetting to men as it, to women as it is to men. When you'd think that women would be rejoicing over what I'm going to say. Acts chapter 5, you know the story, Ananias and Sapphira, right? They lied on the Lord, and God killed them both, right? Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Notice, and the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It was the young men that would carry both of those dead bodies, Ananias and Sapphira, out. They dug the graves, and they buried them. It's hard work. How come the girls didn't do it? Because men are to do that. Men are. Now here's the trouble part. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Are we online? Women were not designed by God to do things like split wood. Now I'm not saying in certain cases, depending on your situation, you have to do so. But you're not designed for that. They're not designed to push wheelbarrows. They were not designed by God to dig holes and lift heavy boxes and do construction work. You know, in our house growing up, we tried to instill some of this type of stuff. And Jared and I, we were the ones who did certain things. The girls didn't do it. The heavy work, the strong work, what we call the dirty work, we would do it. You say, like what? Well, pushing a lawnmower, taking out the garbage, even pumping gas, just because you get gas on your hand. We just, it was dirty type work. Picking up the dog droppings in the lawn, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, I would feel wrong, and I hope you would too, having a lady go out there and scoop up that stuff in the lawn. Again, I'm not, when someone else can do it, you understand what I'm saying here, right? When there's a man there, when there's a young man there in the house, and he can do it, and he's sitting back there watching this stuff. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Young man, if you want to be the man that God designed you to be, you must be willing to embrace those opportunities to perform hard physical labor. That's what God created you for. You're different than a woman. You're different than a girl. God gave you strength to do that. By the way, this is something we need to be teaching our boys. You parents that have young boys coming up, man, teach them to work. And I'm going to get to that here in a moment. Teach them to get dirty. Teach them to do what has to be done. Teach them, this is my job, not a lady's job. Amen? I told you you'd like me tonight. That's why I'm getting out of town tomorrow morning, man. If I was here tomorrow, I wouldn't have preached this one. I'm just kidding. So number one, God's makeup of men. Number two, God's mandate for men. And then number three, write this down, our making of men. Here's what I'm saying. We have to get back to training our boys to become young men. There's a difference. There's a difference between a boy and a young man. I'm going to show you that in a moment. And by the way, older men, we must do that by both example and by instruction. Look at what the Bible says about work. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at those work verses that are there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I can't even find it. I'm so rattled tonight from you guys just looking at me this way. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Notice the Bible says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands." Ew, I might get calluses. You're a boy. As we commanded you. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. That's work. That we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Not them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that without quietness notice they work and eat their own bread. You see, success in life, getting things in life, is a result of work. A lot of young people, I want to have a nice house and a nice yard, and I want to have this and I want to have that. Well, here's the formula. Work. And work and work and work and work and work. That's how you get it. I'm going to trip up here. Now notice, if a boy is to become a man, he has to learn. Listen, guys who stood up. If a boy is to become a man, he must learn the truth that if you shirk work, you are not a young man, you're a boy. As I said earlier, I know a lot of people in their 30s and 40s that are still boys. You see, the change from boyhood to manhood is a change in the way that you view labor. Watch this. A boy views hard work as something to be avoided. That's a boy. A boy sneaks away and hides when it's time to work. A young man jumps in to help. A boy will feel like he has won if he gets out of work. A young man feels cheated when he's denied the opportunity to help. A boy does only what he likes to do and he wants to do and when he feels like doing it, when it's fun. A young man does what needs to be done. He embraces and even enjoys work. By the way, I've seen some of our after-church fellowships on Sunday. It's sad. I mean, we see senior saints, elderly, carrying chairs, moving tables, mopping floors, taking out trash bags, while the teen boys are sitting out, hanging out in the hallway. They're sitting out here playing a game. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's what boys do. A young man would never let that happen. You see, a young man will not only help, but he'll try to convince the senior saints, oh no, don't do that, we'll do that. That's what he'll do, a young man. And if they refuse, what they'll do is they'll work even harder to try to lift the weight of the work off of them. A boy is slothful in his home. He'll watch his dad mow the lawn and do the landscaping while he plays video games in his room. Shame on you. He'll watch mom come in from the grocery store and start unloading bag after bag of grocery when you're sitting there on your dumb phone trying to text your friends. God help us. You're laying on the couch. Let your mom clean your room and pick up your dirty laundry instead of taking care of it yourself. You're a boy. You need to become a man. You need to become a man. You see, if you shirk work, several things happen. First of all, number one is this. You shame your reputation. You think people don't know that you're out there playing around where half the church is downstairs cleaning up in the fellowship hall? You think people don't notice that? Of course they do. You say they don't say anything. Because maybe they think you're a lost cause. Maybe they're just waiting for you to smarten up and realize that life's about work. It's about being a part of what God created you for. By the way, shirking work, you won't be able to hold a job. You take that attitude into Chick-fil-A. You take that attitude into some other place. I'll tell you what they're going to say. You need to go. Okay? You need to show up on time. You need to do your job. Do what you're told. Or go find another job.
I didn't like that job anyway.
Yeah, you're still looking for the job you like. And by the way, I think everybody's still looking for the job they like. Because there ain't one. You like it for a little bit, then guess what happens? It becomes work. Isn't that true? It's just work, and you just got to deal with it. This is what it is. It's not going away. Work. You won't be a good husband if you shirk work. You won't be a good father if you shirk work. You won't be a good employee, and you won't be a good church member.
Right. What do we hear? So we just come in and listen to messages and just wait for it to be over and go out with my friends in the hallway. No, there's a lot of work to do around here.
And by the way, you'll never realize your potential for God if you shirk work. Worst of all, you'll not have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, one of the greatest character traits that you can instill in a boy, one of the greatest things you can instill, is to use his God-given strength to work. Teach him to work. It is the foundation of character. And by the way, some of you, it's time for you to transition from being a boy to becoming a man. A man does what he's supposed to. Well, I'm just tired. The whole world's tired.
I'm tired. I'm tired to go to church. I'm just too tired. Too tired to show up for work. I'm too tired, Mom. Can I stay home from school? I'm too tired.
Please, join the world of men and people that have responsible character. Guess what? When we're tired, we keep going anyway. You preach when you're tired. You go to school when you're tired. You go to work when you're tired. That's part of life. And especially for young men, we have to learn to work. Stop being lazy in school. Stop being lazy at home. Stop being lazy at your workplace and be a man. And get to work. If you're ever going to lay the claim of being a biblical man, you need to have the right attitude towards work.
Well, why should I do it if she's not doing it? Why should I do it if they're not?
Be a man. You don't let these ladies carry out trash and mop floors while you sit back there with your feet up eating another cupcake at the fellowship? Please. Please. Folks, we're seeing a generation. I'm going back and we're done right here. We're seeing a generation of boys into their 30s. They're still boys because they haven't learned to work. Be a gentleman. Work. Do what's right. You're going to see something. When you get the right attitude towards work, you'll actually enjoy it. In fact, you'll feel funny when you're not working. You'll say, well, I've got to be doing something around here. There's got to be something to be done to paint in the house or do this or dump the trash. Something to be done. And you enjoy it. Amen. Because it's a character trait of biblical masculinity. Amen? Let's pray.